we are going to continue to study the book of Ruth. Yesterday we discussed about the decision of Elimelech, which means God is my king. And then we discussed about Naomi. Naomi means the present one, the joyful one, sweet one. As some people say, Naomi was a sweet wife, but not a prudent wife. A sweet wife means try to please the husband. So whatever the husband want to do, be a supported role to make the husband happy. They call sweet wife. And prudent wife, means to help the husband to make a right decision. They call the prudent wife. So brother, you want to marry a sweet wife or you want to marry a prudent wife? Think about. The sweet wife will follow you, make you happy. Whatever decision I support you. A prudent wife means it will help you to make a good decision. Sometimes even will disagree with you to pull you back from going astray. Which one? Now let me make a survey. You want to marry a sweet wife? Raise your hand. Nobody. Only one. Two, three. Both. How can you marry both? You cannot marry two persons. Okay, if you want to marry a prudent wife, raise your hand. So wife play a very important role in the marriage. Somebody say, Naomi was a sweet wife, not a prudent wife, because when the husband make a wrong decision, she just follow. All right. And the article also mentioned that Naomi was a loving mother, but is not a prudent mother. Loving mother means what? I love my child, right? So whatever my child wants, I say give it. So since moved to Abimelech, my wife, my children will not hunger, so we just go. That's called what? Loving mother. So because you have so many loving mothers, so whatever you want, you get it, right? And prudent mother is not in that way. Prudent mother, whatever you want, the mother will think about, is that really benefit you? If that really benefit you, they will give you. If that not benefit you, they will not give you to you. So there's an article mentioned about it. I just tell you for your reference. Now this also can be a reference for the sister. One day you get married, become a mother, become a wife, or try to be a prudent wife and prudent mother. Use the godly principle to guide your marriage. Use the godly principle to guide the children. Not give in to whatever demand which really cannot help them spiritually. Or not give in to anything they request in the long term will harm them spiritually. When they move to Moab, right? In the short term, it seems good, but in the long term, two of the children all die. Why? Because God take away the blessing, and then he had even more problem in the future. So this is the Naomi. But one thing good is Naomi know how to return, right? Previously, she was lost. But when she was in suffering, she know how to make a right decision and to return. So in the book of Proverbs say, in the time of suffering, we have to think. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 14. Chapter 7, verse 14. Verse 14. In the days of prosperity, be joyful. Right? When we receive the blessing, that means in the day of prosperity, be joyful. However, but in the days of adversity, consider. So this is very important. In the day of adversity, consider. So in the day of suffering, in the day that everything seems not go so smooth, then we have to calm down, quiet down. How come these kind of things happen? Consider. So we can make an adjustment of our life. Naomi, when she suffered, she considered. Consider the life in Bethlehem, and also consider the life in Moab, and consider what's the difference. And she realized those who insist, hold on their faith in Bethlehem, only suffer a little bit, and in the long term receive blessing. So she desired to move back. Every one of us, we have to make an adjustment in our life, and then we can really live according to God's way and receive blessing from Him. So in the book of Ruth, actually tell us we are living under the what? Sovereignty of God. We are living under His control. So the way we make decisions actually reflect the value inside us. And value come from where? Value come from faith. If we have faith to God, our value will be adjusted into a spiritual perspective. If our faith start to weaken, then our value will be adjusted into the worldly perspective. So whether a person have good faith or not, it's very, very simple to, you know, look at decision, what kind of decision they make. So in the book of 1 Samuel, when Samuel had Hannah has problem, so she suffered a lot because she was barren and she was unable to deliver a baby at that time. That was a shame, right? And then her husband just tried to comfort her, right? I love you double, all right? Don't worry. But Hannah, according to 1 Samuel chapter 1, she poured out her heart before God. What does it mean, pour out her heart before God? Pour out her trouble before God. It's just like a basin of water, right? If you hold a basin of water, the water is there. But if you pour out on the ground, all the water gone. So a lot of times, right, in our heart, we have so many trouble. We have so many worries. We have so many burden. We have so many anxiety. What should I do? If I don't do something, I'm going to be depressed, or eventually I'm going to have depression, right? How can I do? The best way is to come before the Lord and pour out all inside your heart before God. And then how come Hannah was able to do that? If we read second Samuel chapter 2, After her prayer was answered by God, and Hannah composed a song to praise God. And from the song, she praised God, and we knew she was a person who deeply understand God. And she was a person who had very strong faith about God. Oh. So today, while we are here, trying to understand God more. We pray more, so we have stronger faith to God. Oh. So in the future, when we face the difficulties, inevitably, sooner or later, we are going to face a certain type of different difficulty, and everyone's difficulty is different, right? Your difficulty may be choosing a school. Your difficulty may be how to support your study in college, right? Your difficulty may be in different kind of form. Oh. And then when we are encounter difficulty, how can we trust the Lord? So 2 Samuel chapter 2. Let's see 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. This is a very beautiful song. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. God is a rock, so firm, so sturdy, which you can really hide yourself in the Lord. And she's so firm, God is really trustworthy. Verse 3. Talk no one so very proudly that no arrogance come from your mouth. So before the Lord, everybody should be humble. Now we look into verse 3, later part. The Lord is the God of knowledge. By him actions are weighed. So everything we do, we think, and we say will be weighed, put into the balance of God. Verse 4, the bow of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with the strength. Verse 5, and those who were full have hired themselves out of bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. 6, the Lord kills and makes alive, and he brings down to the grave and bring up. 7, the Lord makes the poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, and set them among the prince and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillar of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. And he will guard the feet of his saint, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. So the more we read, the more we feel what? Everything is under the control of God. So if we really have that kind of faith, then when we encounter trouble, just like Naomi, and she know how to return to Bethlehem. Return to Bethlehem means to rebuild that relationship with God and to trust her problem to God. And that is a necessary step when we are in trouble. So Naomi's decision was very important. And when she returned to Bethlehem, what happened? Her faith changed. Originally, she moved from Bethlehem to Moab. So from Naomi, the sweet one, to become Mara, become a bitter one. But right now, move back to Bethlehem. To be close to God's promised land. And her destination changed from being Mara back to Naomi. So our destination is in the hand of God, right? Is that right or wrong? Yes, right. our destination also in our own hand. Is that right or wrong? Our destination in God's hand. That's right, right? Our destination is also in my own hand. Is that right or wrong? That means here. You think it's right, raise your hand. Think about it. Or if you think it's wrong, raise your hand. Nobody raise their hand. Yeah, both are right. Why? Because our destination is the hand of God, right? But if I choose to live a life without God, means I choose my destination heading towards destruction, right? If I choose to live a life closer to God, means I choose to move my destination towards God's blessing, right? So on the one hand, it's yes, God is in control of me. But on the other hand, we ourselves control our own future. All depends on how do we make decision. So we cannot blame God. You know, one day, if we are very much blessed, we thank God, right? It's because we make a right decision. It also God responds our right decision with a lot of blessing. If one day we suffer, we can only blame God. Hey, God, you are unfair, right? Because we make a decision to depart from God, and God responds with withdraw his blessing, so we suffer. Right? So human beings, we have our own responsibility to make a right decision. After we make a right decision, and God will respond with his mercy and with his grace. So this kind of interaction make our faith become a living faith. So faith is not only knowledge. It's not only like you take a theology in a university, or you take a class of philosophy, so your brain filled with another knowledge. That's all. No. Faith is something living, which you can experience. Faith means you can interact with the one you believe, which is God, the loving Father. So decision. When we make decision, you must put God into your perspective. Don't make decision without thinking about God. Let us think about. Bright future minus God equal to what? You are very good in math, right? Bright future minus God equal to what? This is not too difficult, right? Bright future. Or not bright. Future minus God equal to what? No future. Yeah, you are right. Future minus God equal to no future. No hope. Now, the next question. No future plus God equal to what? I think I have no future, right? Everything is average, or everything below average. It seems I'm not competitive enough to survive in this world. But I put God in my perspective. I really love God. I trust God. Equal to what? Bright future. So simple, right? So when we learn Ruth chapter 1, this is basic concept you have to inscribe in your heart. Then your life will be abundant of God's blessing. Remember, it's so important. Now, Orpha, the third person who make decision, Orpha. Let's come back to the book of Ruth. Ruth. I come back to Ruth chapter 1. Now let's think about the third person, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. What decision she made, and what was the reason, and what was the result? Now, what decision she made? Verse 5. not verse 5. Okay, verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. So she lay at his feet until, oh no, verse 14. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. Right? The Orpha kissed her mother-in-law and said what? Goodbye. Right? So left the mother-in-law. And left the mother-in-law, which means she go back to her own hometown. Okay. What is the implication? It's very important. What is the implication? Very superficial perspective, well, she just go back to her hometown, that's all. But it look deeper from the spiritual perspective. What does that mean? Orpha kiss Naomi and go back to her own hometown for her own future. From spiritual perspective, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, Orpha original is a Moab, right? It's not the chosen people. Has no part with the kingdom of God. But now, through marriage, so she was able to connect it to the chosen people. So she was able to be blessed through the marriage, right? Now, she kiss her mother-in-law and say goodbye means what? She severed the relation with God. For what? For her own future. Now, you know, Naomi was a person who was very caring, very considerate. And she knew that she was growing old. So for the future of her in-law, so she told the in-laws, right? For your own future, you have to go back and to marry another husband and live your happy life. So the first time, she tried to ask the two in-laws to go back. Both of them cry and they don't want to go back, right? From here, we understand, right? Naomi was a very good mother-in-law. If Naomi is not the good mother-in-law, when she asked the two daughters, in-law to leave, or the two daughter-in-law will be dancing happily goodbye. All right, because she was so loving and had very strong bond with the in-law. So both of them just don't want to leave her. But the second time, when Naomi tried to persuade them to go back, the Orpha, who think about deeper about her own future. Yeah. If I follow the older woman, what kind of future do I have, right? The older woman gradually getting old. Right? Yes, I love her, but I think about my future, right? If I waiting and my in-law and pass away and start to think about to get married, and then who want to marry me, right? At that time, probably I'm already 60. Have you ever seen a person 60 to become a bride? Oh, right. So it's very difficult. So she was struggling, and eventually she made a decision. But that decision paid a heavy price. In a very short term, probably she find a good husband and live a happy life, right? Very short term. But in the long run, she had no part with the kingdom of God. So the result is to sever the relationship with God. So we have to learn from here to think about the decision we made, right? Everybody care about our own future, Oh. So you try to study the best school and prepare for the best career. But if we try to think about our own future without thinking about my relation with God, that way of making decision is not a wise way. It's not a wise way, right? If we are able to think about our own future and at the same time, we put God into perspective, then our future will be good and blessed and joyful. Oh. That's all offered. Today actually represent a lot of people. Oh. Yes, they care about their future, but they never think about things from the spiritual aspect. For a period of time, when you are young, in the age of 30, 35, 40, everybody envy you. Wow, you graduate from so good school. You marry so good wife, right? You have so good job. You live in so good area. You drive so good car, right? But after reach to 50 and 60, everybody from the church look at you feel so pitiful. Your face already almost ruined, and your wife is not a member, and your children don't come to the church almost give up the faith. You have only worldly success. Other than that, nothing. And so that would be very pitiful. So in order to avoid that kind of thing, repeat happen in us. So we have to learn a lesson. Now, don't repeat the mistake of offer. Only care about the future in the world without thinking about tomorrow. Thinking about spiritual perspective, our relation with God. So this is the third person who make a decision. The fourth person. Regarding the third person, making decision. I don't know whether you have any thought about that. Now we look into the fourth decision. Ruth. What was the decision of Ruth? Chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Verse 16 to 17. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For whether you go, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also. You know, Naomi loved Ruth. Loved Naomi so much. She wanted to follow Naomi to wherever the Naomi die. I go and die. Actually, Naomi was an elderly people, right? So what does that mean? One day, if you want to get married, either you want to choose a wife or you want to choose a husband, right? How do you make decision? Right? How do you know this one is good or bad? Of course, you can from the attendant rate, right? Everybody come to attend the service, always pray that one of the aspects you can know a person. But two things, you can know a person quite well. The first one, whether the person likes children. If the person don't like children, you may not have to give birth of children, but do you like children? Right? Even Jesus Christ loved children, right? Those who say, don't go, don't bother Jesus Christ. Jesus said, let children come. right? Oh, if a person don't like children, children so cute, right? Oh, and you don't like children, this person probably have problem. Really, it's not necessary you have to give birth of children. But if so cute children you don't like it, you probably have problem. Really. The second, very simple, the second, you see how the person deal with elderly people. Really. If a person feel detested about the elderly people, this one is going to have future. It's going to be a terrible person. Really. Oh. Because when an elderly person grow to old, oh, it gradually return to the stage of child. And you need to have sympathy or empathy. All right? To say words of comfort and help them and care about them. Oh. So if a person look at that elder people feel it's a burden, I don't like it. Oh, it become my burden. Be careful. You marry the person. Oh, probably marry the wrong person. Oh, right. But if God wants you to bear the cross, then you have no choice, right? Oh. But if you have choice, oh, you marry a person who loves children, who loves the elderly people, I think a very high percentage you are not married the wrong person. Oh, right, because the person must have a very kind heart, must have a sympathy or empathy in her heart. Oh, so you look into Naomi and Ruth. Oh, Naomi was old, no future at all, and Ruth loved her so much. Let me ask you a question. Huh? Without thinking your own future, is that equal to no future? Without thinking your own future, is that equal to no future? If you agree, raise your hand. If you disagree, raise your hand. Okay? Without thinking your future, equal to no future. Most of you disagree, right? So what is the right, what is wrong? All depends on in what way. Huh? Without thinking your own future, equal to no future, it can be yes. Why? I don't think about my future, right? I only play the games. Every day I play. Oh, why? I get addicted with the internet, some kind of game, right? I don't want to study. I just want to go out to have fun. Oh, right. Smoke the marijuana. Oh, the hang out with the people in the world. I don't think about my future. That means no future. All right? Because you are not prepared, well prepared. But if we don't think about our future, just like Ruth, because she really loved Naomi, she really want to take care of Naomi because of loving others and loving God, then without thinking your future doesn't mean you have no future. Look into Ruth, right? She did not plan for own future, but look into the end of the story, right? She had a very good future. Oh, also, when we put God into our life perspective, all of a sudden you find out, all right, our life is so simple. Oh, it can be very complicated, but also it's so simple. Oh, how simple it is. Just do the right thing before God. That's simple, right? Oh, you just do the right thing before God. That's all. Oh, and God will take care of you. But if we don't put that into perspective, right? I don't think about God. I don't think about making a right decision. And then I think about our own future. Then it's probably in the future, we have no future at all. Oh. So Ruth and Naomi try to tell us we have to put God first. Love the person. Just like Ruth loved Naomi. Oh. Now we come into chapter 1. the result of Ruth's decision. What was the result? Let's turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 4. Ruth, chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. So we know the ending story of Ruth, right? Boaz took her. The result, he married Boaz. And what is the name of Boaz? In him is strength. So in Boaz is the strength. So the result of Ruth is very much being blessed by the Lord. He is the strength of Ruth. And how did Ruth met Boaz? Now we go into chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Verse 2. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean head of the grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field of the reaper. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonged to Boaz, and who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reaper, "The Lord be with you." So verse 3 and verse 4, we can see how Ruth met Boaz. Right. Her mother-in-law told her to go and pick up the wheat, right? And then she left and went and gleaned in the field of the reaper. And then next day, she happened to come to the part of the field belonged to Boaz. So there are so many different kind of field and so many different owner. How come Ruth happened to come to Boaz's field? It's a coincidence, right? You walk there and then you stop there. Then it seems you just randomly stop in a field, right? And then in that right moment, Boaz came from Bethlehem. So both of them meet in the same location at the same time. So meet the right person at the right location, right? At the right time. So there are three coincidences, right? So what does that mean to us? Today, that means what? That coincidence, huh? If there's only one coincidence, probably that's a true coincidence. If there are two coincidences happen at the same time, then it's not a coincidence anymore. It is the arrangement of God. So, when God really wants to guide us, God really wants to bless us, so many coincidences happen. And then from the spiritual perspective, we know so many coincidences happen is the blessing of God. So a lot of times, we heard about the testimony of brother and sister, right? And we really have this kind of feeling. There was a sister. She was absent from church for ever since she was in college. When she was in college, the place she studied is about 20 minutes away from the church. She only went to the church for 3 times. And that school actually is a pretty good school. And after she graduated, her resume was well prepared. Then she sent out a lot of resume. It seems nobody responds. And she was so worried. How come I graduated from so good school? I have so good resume, but I cannot find a job. She was unable to understand. And in that very disappointed moment, and she decided to come back to church to pray. And then after a few times she came back to church, she met another sister. And she told the sister about her story. And then that sister told her own personal experience. Just encourage her. You just do the right thing before God. Right? You have to put your resume back to the true yourself. Don't inflate it to look good, but it's not true. Whatever God wants to bless you, God will bless you. So she just amended her own resume, take away a lot of stuff, and looks become her true self. And then when she come back to the church, and then she start to participate in holy work, bring the truth seeker. And one day there was a job fair, Sunday, there was job fair. And it happened the church arranged her to send a truth seeker to attend some kind of service. Then after the service, she want to go to the job fair. At that time, almost already 4 p.m., and most of people already left. There was only a secretary there. And she asked the secretary, what should I do? The secretary says, well, just leave your resume here. So she just leave a resume here. She thought probably hopeless. After she waited for 1 month, still no answer. And one day she received a phone call from a big company. And the one who called her is the one who make decision, try to hire a person. So without going through all the process of interview, her resume just keep on jumping up to the one who make decision. And that one start to interview her. And during the time of interview, and that one asked her, what is the purpose of your life? And that sister, after return to the church, she just answered, my purpose of life is to glorify the name of God. And that person who interviewed her was a Christian. And asked her, have you read a book called The Purpose-Driven Life? So both of you are talking very joyfully. And then she got a job, a very good job. So that sister, after come back to the church, she testified. That's so many coincidences happen. She has only one conclusion. It is God who guide her to receive that kind of job. So, Ruth met Boaz superficially. It seems She met her, I met boss in randomly, but in reality, it's not that, like that way. It was the arrangement of God, because God wanted to bless her, because whatever she did really pleased God. So in our daily life, the most important thing in our life is just try to live a life to please God, to do the right thing before God, and do whatever we have to do as our own duty, and then God will guide and bless. So this is the fourth decision, Ruth. Ruth means friendship. Now we look into B. Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi. Number one, Naomi was considerate to Ruth. You know, Naomi was old. She needs somebody to take care of, right? However, when she think about the future of Ruth, she never think about herself. If Naomi was more selfish, she would not want her daughter-in-law to leave. You know, the older people like people to be with them, accompany them, to take care of them. Right? But she was so considerate, she put the future of Ruth ahead of her own need. So this means Naomi was very good person, considerate. Right? So Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-law, go, return each to her own mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. You look into Naomi, the way she talked to the two daughter-in-law, right? How do you feel? The words are very gracious. Very gracious. Very kind. Very gracious. So wonderful, right? So we have a lot to learn, right? When we treat people, we need to be gracious. So she said to her two daughter-in-law, right? Go return each of her to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So the Lord kindly with you, just like you deal with me, with kindness. Verse 9. The Lord grant that you may find rest. So not only she suffered, she know the her daughter-in-law suffer. So she was gracious to bless the daughter-in-law that the Lord grant you may find rest. Then each in the house of her husband. So very kindness. So she kissed them and they lift up their voice and wept. So this is the first one, show the kindness. Chapter 1, verse 8. Now we look into chapter 1, verse 11. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? And there are still sons in my womb, that they may be your husband. Turn back, my daughter, go, for I am too old to have a husband. So she was so kind. Think about her in-law's future,
and then bless them and ask them to go. So we know she was very kind and gracious. You know, when a person in tribulation, and the person is very sensitive to what people say. When a person in tribulation, if we really give them a kind words and gracious words, it's not only let them feel loved. We will let them feel comforted. And that kind of sadness seems to put some medicine to cure their sadness. When we encounter some people who suffer the loss of the family member, if we can spend time together with them, that will be wonderful. A lot of support to them so they can go through that kind of difficult situation. And that is the charity work too. Now, we look into the chapter 3, verse 1. Do you remember when Job was in great tribulation? All right. Over one night, Job lose the property. Job lose all the animal. And Job lose the children. And the second time, the Satan come and attack Job, he lose the health. From the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, he had to use some kind of a stone to scratch the skin, very easy. Right? When the three friends come, what did the three friends say? The three friends not only did not comfort them, the three friends say, today you suffer so much because you sin. You must sin greatly. So that's the reason today you suffer. And what did Job respond? Job say, you are what? Useless doctor. Doctors are supposed to cure people's sickness. You are useless doctor. I'm in suffering. Right now, I need people to comfort me, to give me support so I can go through this kind of suffering. However, you come and you say, I sin. Also, from Job chapter 1, they start to refute. Job never agreed with the point they say. But if we look into the Job chapter 1, why did Job suffer? Why did Job suffer? Because in the spiritual realm, God was talking with the Satan. Look into the ground, right? There was a person, perfect, righteous, like a Job. And Satan said, okay, the reason Job fear you, right? The reason Job love you is because you bless him so much. No. So if you take away the blessing, Job is going to forsake you. So Satan tried to accuse that Job worship God because of what? Because of material gain, because of personal profit. Just like doing the business, right? You treat me well, I treat you well. If you treat me bad, I'm going to forsake you. So that's the point of Satan, right? He tried to accuse Job worshiping God because of that. So God allowed Satan to attack Job, try to prove Job worship God because God himself is worthy of Job worship. It's not because the blessing God gives to Job. So in the spiritual realm, God already decided the reason Job suffered. But the three friends did not know why did Job suffer. So they just guessing Job suffered because of sin. So Job say, one day if you experience the same thing I experience now, I can very, very easily to say what you say to me. Right, you sin. So when we see the Naomi, she herself suffer, lose husband and two sons. And she was able to think about her daughter-in-law and give gracious words, words of encouragement and words of comfort. It's not easy. That is to reflect the person is good. You know, how do we know the person? Oh, there are two ways we can know ourselves, including know others. The first one is you put the person in a very extreme circumstance to see how the person reacts. Oh. Right? If you put a person in the extreme circumstance, like Jesus Christ, right? She was crucified. She was able to ask God to forgive those who crucified him. Then we know Jesus Christ was a real great person. He was a real person who really has love. But a lot of people, when they are in a very extreme circumstance, they start to hate, they start to curse, they start to fight back. Then we know this person is nothing but ordinary person, right? And the second way to know a person is you put the person in a very comfort situation, very successful situation to see how the person behave. Oh, like Nebuchadnezzar, right? He was so successful to be a king. At that time, he indulged himself in personal pride, right? And he said, this is because of me. Then we know Nebuchadnezzar was just an ordinary person. But if you look into Daniel, he was promoted to become a prime minister. And he was so humble. You look into Joseph, he was promoted to become prime minister, right? And he still cared about his family. And he was attribute all the blessing to God himself. He deserved no credit. Then we understand, oh, Joseph and Daniel was a great person, a spiritual person. From the Naomi and Ruth, we understand Naomi was really a good person, a very gracious person, a person filled with love. When she suffered, she also comforted the in-law who suffered too. Tomorrow we continue. Let's pray inside.